very good Monday and welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. In addition to feature agricultural news reports, I'll bring you a look at national and regional agricultural news headlines, and I'll start with regional ag news right after this.
Get ready for the 2023 Crop Consultant Conference in Visalia, California on September 27th and 28th, hosted by Progressive Crop Consultant Magazine and Western Region Certified Crop Advisors. This two-day event will feature a combined 44 hours of live and online continuing education units for attendees in the heart of California, a trade show, first-class dining, entertainment, and a mixer. Come join CCAs, PCAs, growers, and industry professionals at the Visalia Convention Center to hear from researchers and colleagues on the latest in agriculture. Registration is now open at progressivecrop.com/conference.
The Citrus Pest and Disease Prevention Program will be hosting free hands-on training workshops for field crew supervisors and farm labor contractors in Ventura and Tulare counties. Presented in Spanish, these workshops will review how frontline leaders in a field can reduce the risk of spreading Asian citrus psyllid and Wana long bean to commercial citrus growers. The train-to-trainer workshops will take place tomorrow, beginning at 10 a.m. at the Liminaria Company in Santa Paula in Ventura County at Exeter Veterans Memorial Building in Exeter, which is in Tulare County. The training workshops will fulfill the requirement listed in CDFA's Harvesters Farm Labor Contractors Compliance Agreement for these industry members to stay abreast of ACP and Wana Lungbing and prevention best practices. RSVPs are strongly encouraged. For more information, log on to citrusinsider.org. As California growers harvest this season's processing tomato crop, there is concern that canneries could struggle to keep up with a backlog of fruit deliveries. Heavy rains left tomato fields wet and muddy through spring, disrupting planting of processing tomato transplants, which continued through May. With much of the crop now being harvested at once, growers are worried about risk to fruit that can't be processed right away. Bruce Rominger of the California Tomato Growers Association said some growers may be encouraged to harvest early when tomatoes are a little green. Farmers relying on water supplies from the Federal Klamath Water Project say they are trying to finish harvest before their water supply is cut off in the coming weeks. Scott Seuss of Tule Lake-based Seuss Farms, which grows horseradish, onions, mint, and grain, said that the growers are facing water shortages again this season, despite a plentiful water year. That's because the Klamath Water Users Association had expected a water delivery of 285,000 acre-feet of water this year. Instead, irrigators got an initial allocation of 215,000. Still, that is vastly improved over last year's 50,000 acre-feet supply. As a 2017 Tubbs fire was bearing down on vineyards, sixth-generation Napa Valley wine grape grower Johnny White battled the blaze with the St. Helena Fire Department. White testified last week before the House Committee on Natural Resources about the consequences of fires on rural communities, urging proactive steps, including increasing removal of wildfire fuels. He told lawmakers that their industry continues to witness damage and destruction to livestock, commodities, farms, ranches, wineries, farm homes, employee housing, and equipment. The Almond Board of California has announced the election of five voting members for the panel that directs global market development for the almond sector. New member Kelly Evans is a co-op grower from Evans Farming of Live Oak. Members re-elected were Paul Ewing, an independent grower from Los Banos, Alexi Rodriguez, an independent handler with Campos Brothers in Carruthers, Alicia Rockwell, a co-op handler with Blue Diamond Growers in Sacramento, and Darren Rigg, an independent handler from Minturn Nut Company in La Grande. Supplies of red, green, and black organic table grapes are ample coming out of the Bakersfield Delano region of California. All colors of grapes are tasting fantastic and look sharp. They have Flames and Thompson's from Fresno, Ivory and Ruby Rush from Bakersfield, Stella Bella and Red Sparkle from Delano, and the coveted Thomcourt grapes from Reedley and Concord grapes from Paradise. That according to Ethan Abendroth, senior buyer for Earl's Organic Produce. He notes that California season started 2 to 3 weeks later. Coachella was pushing grapes for quite a while there, so that was covering a bit of the need, he says. As for demand, it is strengthening, given summer vacations are starting to wind down and school is starting again in parts of the country. and they'll see higher upticks in velocity soon, especially as the kids go back to school. This has left pricing as moderate. Right now, a 21-pound export pack is priced at $36.95, while a 12-by-175 tote is $28, and 19-pound cellos are $27 to $28, all priced as FOB. Pricing is slightly stronger by about a dollar this year, which easily accounted for with the cost of everything being a bit more, he says. Noting this year, he's hearing more frequently about growers having difficulty accessing labor in some regions more than others. Looking ahead, the heart of the Bakersfield Delano grape season is late August into early October. Abentroth anticipates there will be a surge in supply, and then it will create that supply-demand equation. He says it looks like it's going to be a pretty reasonable crop, barring any severe heat, which is always a possibility. They will look to have good supplies through October, and they'll see a little bit of softening of the FOBs with more boxes in the market. However, they are not anticipating any crash in the marketplace. Updated findings from a forecast, a study by CIRAD, the French Agricultural Research Center for International Development, points to a surplus of fresh avocados in a global market by 2030 unless action is taken to create demand. Proactive strategies through the promotion, similar to the model of the Haas Avocado Board, are discussed in the Avocado World Market Projection Up to 2030 version 2.0 webinar, which is available on demand at haasavocadoboard.com/webinars. The findings presented by the lead CIRAD researcher Eric Imbert are an update to data presented in 2021. As global models suggest an oversupply of avocados in the coming years, HAB has invited CIRAD to present to the Haas avocado industry the latest overview through this webinar to help equip stakeholders with knowledge and solutions. To mobilize the global avocado industry for a more sustainable future, the webinar begins with a robust overview of market developments and closes with guidance on three action steps designed to help industry leaders get ahead of the forecasted excess in supply. Increasing investment in being greener and stimulating demand growth through the promotion are among the doors to open suggested by Imbert. Hobbs' approach to the market growth by developing the avocado's nutrition story is noted as a good model to follow. Hobbs' 2023 webinar series, now available on demand to fit every schedule, continues throughout the year to support members in making better business decisions and driving category growth more efficiently. You can subscribe to any of Hobbs' monthly newsletters at haasavocadoboard.com/newsletter to receive email updates as well as information on when new webinars are released.
We're waking up to a new dawn in agriculture, a better way, where farmers stop working the soil and start working with it. At Huma, our carbon-rich, humate-based products improve soil health and fertility, deliver nutrients more efficiently, and reduce crop input costs. Welcome to Humic Solutions with a human touch. Visit huma.us to learn more.
Pre-harvest prep is important to achieving an efficient harvest. Equipment preparation to rodent control to orchard floor management is all part of preparing for an efficient harvest. One big thing, according to UCCE's Franz Niederholzer, is doing whatever possible to prevent barking of the tree or damaging the trunk bark while shaking. And he says this is what can cause the most damage to a tree out of anything in an orchard.
It's an avenue for Ceratocystis and other bark cankers to get in, damage trees. You don't want your to lose trees in an orchard, but you know, before their time, it's going to impact yield, things of that nature. So you want the machine well lubricated. You want your operators well trained, and you really want to make sure that the orchard is all the trees in the orchard are at hull split, at 100% hull split, before you start to shake at the very earliest. If there are some green nuts at different spots in the orchard and the operator, even a trained operator, shakes them a little bit longer than needed, you're going to run the risk of barking. And you can't go back and fix that. So having the machines well maintained and making sure the operators know to not overshake when they come up against trees that don't shake clean quickly, will help contribute to a clean shake and a trouble-free history in the orchard.
Deficit irrigation is a way of priming the nuts on the tree so that the shaker doesn't have to work as hard to get nuts off the tree, resulting in barking. However, we're past the point of deficit irrigation in the regular season, but there are still irrigation-related methods to prep trees before harvest, specifically with tree moisture.
Deficit irrigation and early hull split, which were mostly passed by now, helps help dry up some of that excess moisture in the orchard and make the hull split more uniform throughout the orchard and throughout the tree. But once you get past those 2 weeks, which we're about past that now, you want to maintain good moisture in the orchard. You want to get away from that moderate stress that you had at early hull split to maybe just a slight stress, but full ET applications to maintain the photosynthetic capacity of the orchard. And you want to fill those nuts. You want to get them as plump as possible. So minimize your shrivel at harvest. So making sure that the trees get the water, adequate water now is through now till irrigation cutoff going into harvest is really important to your bottom line. You can, I think David Dull documented, up to maybe 10% reduction in kernel weights in when you have significant stress in the orchard, water stress in the orchard going into harvest.
That reduction in kernel weight is also a detriment to the grower.
The nuts don't have the weight that they could have. You still have the same number of weight of nuts. They're still the same dimensions, but they're going to be more wrinkled. There's going to be some shrivel there. And that's money that growers don't get paid for, or potential that's being left behind. So I know it's a drought year. It's very difficult for some growers to maintain. The weather's quite warm, but just for the growers that are aware that there is no benefit to deficit irrigation as you go into the final stretch before harvest, maintaining adequate, sufficient moisture in the orchard, 100% ET, is really important to getting the best production from the orchard.
Rodents are another tricky issue in the orchard and an important factor in ground floor management. There are also ongoing maintenance throughout the season.
The gophers in particular have potential for damaging the trees, but just the mounds themselves, pre-harvest mow down, you're generating dust. That's easy, it's a mite issue. And then as the pickup machine comes through, if it's eating up gopher mounds, it's generating more dust. That's an irritant to the crew. It's a danger to the operators as ability to see dust in on-farm and off-farm roads is a concern for visibility and machine safety. So gophers are a real issue. Gopher mounds in particular, that dirt up above the orchard floor that gets picked up on by the sweepers, it gets picked up by the pickup machine. Eliminating those gophers, smoothing out those mounds before you're coming through after the shake, it's really important to a smooth operation. If you're unaware of you should be keeping the cover crop down so you can see any mound activity, any gopher activity, and take steps to eliminate those gophers. Certain cover crops certain clovers are very attractive to gophers, so you have to pay particular attention there. But as long as you know that it's an issue, having your crew or yourself keep an eye on where the fresh mounds are through the season should be able to keep ahead of them, or at least keep up with them.
Removing those mounds from the orchard and making sure the floor is perfectly clean come harvest is a great way in reducing dust at harvest, one of Almond Board of California's 2025 goals.
A smooth orchard floor, a smooth, clean orchard floor is a big, fundamental step. Removing the weeds most growers will come through with a trunk-to-trunk herbicide burn down spray and then mow those, eliminate the weeds with a flail mower. So you've got a flat, smooth surface to work off of. You don't lose any nuts in the divots, and you don't have to run your pickup machine or your sweeper heads so close to the ground that you're kicking up, literally touching the orchard floor and contacting it and creating, creating dust. You want to make sure your crew knows and you're paying attention to keep, when your sweepers go around, when the pickup machine goes around, the direction of the dust is being blown is back into the orchard, not out onto roads, whether they're in the orchard, whether they're farm roads or public roads. So minimizing that dust is good for the orchard too, good for pollinizer varieties, eliminating potential for hull rot. That dust can get into splits that are, for your later varieties. There's a lot of reasons to why minimizing dust is important for growers.
according to Niederholzer, making sure employees know as well how important a safe harvest is will ensure a safe and clean harvest. For My Ag Life, I'm Taylor Charlstrom.
This segment is sponsored by Bee Hero, the leading almond pollination provider. Don't leave pollination to chance. Be sure, be precise, be Hero. Call Charlie Phillips, VP Sales at 559-467-9699. Be Hero, superior bees, superior pollination.
Shipping trying to pass through the Panama Canal is facing long delays and added costs as authorities tackle what they call unprecedented drought conditions caused by climate change. In late July, the Panama Canal Authority limited the number of vessels passing through the canal to 32, down from 36, and placed restrictions on a total tonnage that could be held on each ship. The authority attributed this to an extended dry season that has caused high levels of water evaporation, calling the environmental conditions historically unprecedented. Vessels are now facing lengthy wait times before passing through the crucial canal, which is estimated to be a part of 180 maritime routes. Other critical trade routes are being threatened by climate-related droughts as global temperature records continue to tumble. The River Rhine in Europe is also experiencing severe droughts, with exporters in Germany and elsewhere facing additional costs. Last month, Hapag-Lloyd and Maersk said they would pass on surcharges to customers. The Rhine was closed to barge traffic last year, as reported by the IOE and IT Daily Update, following another seasonal drought caused by a lengthy European heat wave. The Danube, the second largest river in Europe, has also been experiencing droughts. The American Farm Bureau Federation is encouraging dairy farmers to participate in an upcoming federal milk marketing order hearing, either in person or virtually. Farm News reporter Michael Clements shares more on how to participate.
USDA is holding a federal milk marketing order hearing starting August 23rd in Carmel, Indiana. American Farm Bureau Federation economist Danny Munch says USDA will consider 21 proposals during the hearing.
The primary proposal was from National Milk Producers Federation's original proposal made on May 1st. The American Farm Bureau Federation, we got an additional 4 proposals, and there was a bunch of proposals from numerous other groups that will be considered as well. The USDA is going to allow dairy farmers to testify throughout this hearing.
Munch says there are 2 ways farmers can participate in the hearing.
You can either testify in person or virtually. The in-person option, farmers can show up at any time. All they have to do is find a USDA official, and they'll have up to 60 minutes to provide context and testimony on any of the issues. If farmers are interested in testifying virtually, they have to pre-register on the Monday of the week they hope to testify on, and then they will be able to testify on that Friday. They expect the hearing to last potentially 3 to 4 weeks or more, so farmers will have up to 4 weeks or more to testify virtually.
Virtual registration will be available at ams.usda.gov. Munch says it's important USDA hears from dairy farmers.
Federal milk marketing orders influence how dairy farmers are paid every month and historically has always been based on dairy farmer input. So it's important for dairy farmers to make their voices heard. How has the federal milk marketing order impacted them in the past several years? And how can we advocate for a system that's modernized and more reflective of what the federal milk marketing order system is meant to provide, which is a fair market price for farmers?
Michael Clements, Washington.
According to a new report from CoBank, the market for plant-based meats has likely reached a tipping point as the initial period of exceptional sales growth appears to be over. That's due to cost as well as lingering negative perceptions surrounding taste, value, and versatility. New data from USDA's Economic Research Service shows variable rate technology adoption is on the rise. Farmers use variable rate technologies to control the amount of farm inputs, such as seed, fertilizer, and chemicals applied as farm machinery moves across the field. Data from USDA's Agricultural Resource Management Survey shows that initial adoption in the late 1990s and early 2000s was sluggish, remaining below 10% of planted acres for several field crops. However, adoption rates for corn and cotton have increased markedly over the last decade. The adoption rate for corn stood at 37.4% of planted acres in 2016, up from 11.5% in 2005. Cotton acreage showed a similar increase, rising from 5.4% in 2007 to 22.7% in 2019. Recent adoption rates across other crops included 13.9% for sorghum in 2019, 18.8% of winter wheat planted acres in 2017, and 25.3% of soybean planted acres in 2018. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey is in with the latest on rice crop condition ratings.
Rice condition, as we come down toward the end of the season, A little bit of a drop there too, as some of the heat creeping into, of course, those southern rice production areas. 67% of the rice good to excellent, 6% very poor to poor. That represents a drop from last week's 71% good to excellent and 4% very poor to poor. And it puts this year's crop a little below last year at this time when we had 3/4 of the crop good to excellent and just 3% very poor to poor.
That's USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey. Research from the Grand Forks Human Nutrition Research Center, a U.S. Department of Agriculture facility in North Dakota, has determined that test subjects who ate vegetables were happier than people who didn't. The conclusion is based on a questionnaire called the Subjective Happiness Scale, which scientists use to evaluate a person's mood and hopefulness. They observed an increase in SHS scores in participants from the group that followed the recommendations for vegetable intake, whereas SHS scores stayed the same for the control group who did not change their diet. That, according to USDA research biologist Shannon Kasperson in a release from mid-July. Results suggest that increasing the amount of vegetables a person eats every day may benefit their mental health. For the experiment, one group of adults aged 18 to 65 received daily servings of cucumbers, peppers, and other veggies. The other group ate their usual diet without adding more vegetables. After 8 weeks, the group that consumed veggies had higher SHS scores than they did when they started the study. There was no change in perceived happiness from the control group.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.